there.
We're alive with our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Holding up the man that drove the nails in his hands.
It's all about Him.
The Savior.
And if it wasn't for Jesus, there'd be no need for us being here. But we're here to worship Him. This morning, I had it in my heart. The man's done passed away. But his name was Jeff Finholt. He was the lead singer of Black Sabbath, a blasphemous rock and roll group.
Mm-hmm.
He played the lead part in the blasphemous movie Jesus Christ Superstar. But Jeff Finholt got saved. And after Jeff Finholt got saved, he sung, I would say he wrote, but actually he took this song out of Psalms chapter 97, verse number 9. And he sung a song and he put it to music. That verse says, "For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted above all gods." That's that one verse. The song's pretty much about that verse. But he starts it out, "I exalt Thee."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, you're talking about, I had to get my face, get my composure back. I wept.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Jesus lifted up.
Yes, that's right.
And he said, "When I be lifted up," of course, he's making a reference to the cross.
Yeah.
He said, "I'll draw all men unto me." And boy, that's what we need to do.
Right.
Yeah. We all need to get closer to Him.
Yeah.
I know in the age we're living in, it's Laodicean. I know we've left our first love. I know the love of men is waxing cold. I understand every bit of that pertains to me too. But he sung this song. And I mean, there's an auditorium out before him, and I mean, it's full to the balconies. There ain't an empty seat. They're in the aisles. There's people in wheelchairs. He goes out there, and I mean, he's touching them because they're weeping. Some are crying. Some are clapping. But he's touching them as he's singing this song, "I exalt thee." And I'm telling you, buddy, I got off the ground just a little bit. They had never released this song. It was a song that was, I'm going to put it in these terms, it was so sacred that you had to hear him sing it live. He wouldn't release it. They wouldn't release it. Somebody finally released it, and you can find that song on YouTube of Jeff Finholt singing, "I exalt thee." And boy, I'm telling you, talking about starting the morning off right, it made me run late, but it was worth it. And I like to hear people lift up Jesus.
Yeah.
Brother Ed just held a picture out there of Jesus. I want him to have the preeminence. I just soon sit down. I'm telling you, if the Lord wanted to have his way here today, we've got a revival effort going on.
Yeah,
right now in our schools. I'm taking intermission. I'm sorry, but I need to do this. Going on in our schools right now at Asbury Community College. Asbury University College. And it's not just there. It's breaking out in all the schools.
Yes.
And I'll just tell you, the reason it's breaking out, these children have had it up to here with this gender garbage nonsense.
Yeah.
They've had it up to here with this woke wickedness nonsense.
Yeah.
They've had it up to here with this racism of ridiculous nonsense.
Yeah.
And there's only one thing left, and I'm glad it's Jesus.
Hey.
And they're seeking Jesus. And only Jesus offers a way out.
Yes.
I mean, he still sets the captive free, and I know what I'm talking about. When Jeff Finholt sung that song, he knew what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Come out of great sins, come out of great blasphemy. Even Jesus said, "Who'll love me the most? He's been forgiven of much, or he's been forgiven a little." Some of them old rough sinners make good Christians. Amen.
Amen.
But we're getting a Sunday school lesson this morning. Sorry about that. I had to get that off my chest. I'm telling you, that just rolled my socks up and down about three times this morning. And I would advise you to take me up on that.
Amen.
Take your smartphone.
Yeah.
And go to YouTube and bring up Jeff Fenholt singing "I Exalt Thee." If you don't feel like old brother Eddie did, your wood's wet, something bad wrong. Amen. I'm just telling you. Okay, our Sunday school lesson this February the 26th, Lord's Day Sunday morning, this year is just flying by. We stopped at verse number 4 in Exodus chapter 5, and I want to go, Lord, in prayer. Lord, we do want to exalt you here this morning.
Yes, Father.
Lord, as little as this church is, Lord, it loves you in a big way.
Yes.
Lord, we stand amazed at seeing your hand upon the work here. We're thankful, Lord, to have the hand of God upon this work. We're thankful to be here. Thankful to be the pastor. Thankful, Lord, just to even be in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray for those who are listening today by the live stream. Thanks to Brother Ed. Great difficulty, Lord, in the hour we're living in, being censored and being interrupted. Thank you for Brother Ed live streaming the service. Thank you for the internet opportunity we have to put these messages online. Lord, there's a great hunger out there. We see it with our own eyes. We see the multitudes that have downloaded the messages and the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. We're thankful for that. We're thankful, Father, Lord, for this work of God. We pray for those that can't be here. Yeah. Sister Joanne, Lord, her health won't allow her to be here, but if she could be here, Lord, she'd be here.
Amen.
We love Sister Joanne. We send blessings her way. Lord, we know we're going to a place where we'll all be restored to perfect health. We'll all have that youthfulness again, Lord. I just turned 69 this week, and that's old to some and young to others. But Lord, as far as I'm concerned, I feel like it's the second time that I've been there. I'm telling you, I feel wore out. But I'm glad you're going to renew our strength as an eagle.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're going to walk and not faint. We'll run, Lord, and not grow weary.
Right.
I'm glad you're going to give us, Lord, a glorified body like unto yours.
Yes.
We won't have to deal with the pain of the flesh and, Lord, with the weakness and, Lord, the pain, the suffering, Lord, the weakness of the flesh. I can't even spit the words out. We won't have the flesh, Lord, holding us back no more.
Right.
And I pray, Father, for those that are listening today that might not be saved.
Yes.
Lord, I see the door of heaven closing.
Oh, my.
I see, Lord, that it could very well be this year that you come for your beloved church.
Yeah.
Lord, that you come, Lord, to pick up those that have made an investment in heaven, that have called upon you. That's rich in mercy to all that call upon you. They've laid hold on eternal life.
Yeah.
They've made preparation against that day.
Yeah.
They're good and ready to go. When you show up, they'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, the world will be in havoc and chaos. They won't know. They won't understand. We'll be preaching about some of that even today. Oh, Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for the listeners. We pray, Lord, you'd fill this little church, Lord. Lord, your word says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor to build it labor in vain.
Right.
We pray, dear Lord, you'd raise this church up to what it needs to be for the hour we're living in.
Yeah.
I pray you'll fill it up, Lord. I pray people get a hungering and thirsting for the things of God and get weaned off of the pleasures of this world. Help us, God, to be eternity conscious. I pray, Lord, for the members of this church and for the visitors of this church. And I pray for those that might be here even today that you'd set a table, Lord, that they could come and dine and spend some time with you. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Good morning,
all right.
Joanne.
Good morning, Sister Joanne. We love you.
Thank you.
I'm thrilled to death that we can come to you by way of a live stream. Old Brother Hedy, give me anything if you could be here. Amen. All right, we stopped last Sunday on verse number 4. And we want to read verse 2 again. Well, let's read down to verse 4. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, and boy, this is pretty affirmative here. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. Moses, get a little bit of backbone to him here. I can just see him probably put a finger in the face of Pharaoh. And he said that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? And you know that? That's the attitude of people that don't know God. They don't want to obey.
That's right.
Look, they say, if that's what you want to do, help yourself. I'm not interested. Pharaoh, he's not on board with this command. He said, I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Now, Pharaoh's in charge. He's the king of Egypt. He's the Pharaoh of Egypt. I mean, whatever he says is what goes. And he said, I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews have met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Now the Lord never really told them to say that.
Mm-mm.
This is their flesh. In the presence of Pharaoh, they're trying to make it more attractive, I guess, for Pharaoh to consider what the Lord told him to say. Verse 4, and the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? Now the king told the Hebrews, y'all go back to work. And he pretty much made Moses and Aaron look like they weren't qualified to lead. He put them in a bad light right here, a bad character right here. He said, Moses and Aaron has let you stop your work, get back to your burdens. You know, down here we all work. Amen. I mean, Adam, you can trace us all. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what language you speak. Yeah. You can trace us all back to two.
Right.
One male, one female. Everybody goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Now
right.
you can fight all you want. You can complain all you want. But I'm telling you, we all came forth from Adam and Eve.
That's right. Amen, yeah.
And God rebuked Adam after he disobeyed the one commandment in the garden. Of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God said, thou shalt not eat of it. And then God told him why. He said, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That ought to have been good enough. But in Genesis chapter 3, We read the terrible story of how sin came into the world by one man.
Amen.
Which is explained in Romans chapter 5. By one man, sin entered into the world, death by sin, and sin's passed upon all. Our father, Adam, disobeyed the one commandment. God confronted him.
Amen.
And the judgment that God brought upon Adam was, God said, in the sweat of your face, let me read that.
Bless him, God.
In the sweat of your face, he said here in Genesis chapter 3, God said, verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That's Genesis 3:19. Because I want you to know, Adam disobeyed one commandment.
Yeah.
And you can disobey, come with a price.
Yeah.
And we thank God for grace. Amen.
Right.
But in the next verse talks about Eve. She was the mother of all living. Our mother is Eve. Our father is Adam. I don't care what color you are. Well, anyway, the king of Egypt said, they, get back to work. He said, get you to your burdens. Brother Donnie's just talking about retirement. And he said, I can't wait to retire. I'm going to hold him to it if I live long enough. He said, when I retire, I'll be every time the door is open. Amen. And as a pastor, I picked up on that, amen.
Yeah, right.
But here I finally got retired. Only took me 60 years. And, you know, I'm glad to be retired, but they ain't retired. Pharaoh said, get back to work. Mm-hmm. Get you to your burdens.
Yes.
Verse 5, which is our first verse of our lesson today. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many,
yeah,
and ye make them rest from their burdens. Now, he ain't talking to Moses and Aaron. He's talking to the leaders over the work being done. Mm-hmm. He's talking to the officers, which is mentioned in the next verse. Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters. You know, I had a boss at work. Whatever he said, it's... Sometimes that's what got done. If I could figure out a way to do it my way, I would.
Yeah.
Especially when I knew what he was telling me to do. Some of them wasn't that experienced. They just got hired by either how they looked or who they know. I don't know. They didn't know nothing about printing. And I've been printing. I printed for 32 years. And I knew somewhat about printing. Some of the stuff they told me to do, I couldn't say that won't work. One time I had to show them it wasn't working. He said, you're right. I'm wrong. Keep it up. You know, he was kind of glad. We was in a dilemma. We had to live with this job, and it wasn't going to run. And I told him what it'd take to run. He didn't like it, but I did it, and it did run, and he was happy. But here, Pharaoh's telling the taskmasters, the bosses of the people and their officers, saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Or heretofore,
yeah.
Let them go and gather straw for themselves. They're being punished for listening to Moses and Aaron. You know, Pharaoh, he's not stupid. He's trying to get these people to where they're not going to follow Moses and Aaron, where they're not going to listen to Moses or Aaron, because it's going to cost them when they do. And he's using this for leverage here. He said, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore, or heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves.
Yeah.
If that ain't enough, look at verse 8. And the tale of the bricks, in other words, the amount,
yeah,
which they did make hither or heretofore, you shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Mm-hmm. He's making it not only harder for them,
right,
but he said they're not going to make no less than they did before I made it harder on them.
Amen. That's right.
Now, boy, he's putting it on them pretty.
He's putting it on.
You know, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden.
Yeah.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest on your souls. My yoke's easy, my burden's light. He made my load at work a whole lot easier. For one thing, mentally, I had my mind at ease. I wasn't stressed out. I was able to use my faculty, if that's such a fair word. I was able to use what knowledge I had. I had control of my emotions. I wasn't mad. I wasn't hitting nothing with a hammer. I wasn't cursing. Morning, Sister Sharon. And he made my job actually easy, the Lord did.
Yeah.
But Pharaoh's not making it easy.
Mm-mm.
And verse 9, he said, let there more work be laid upon the men. Hey, he's raised up the quota now.
Yeah.
That they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. Now that's sarcasm there. And the Bible does say vain is the help of men. The psalmist said, I looked to the hills which come of my help. He said, my help cometh from the Lord made heaven and earth.
Yeah.
Some words are vain. And Pharaoh here is talking about the word of God being vain. He said, let them not regard vain words. Now, Moses and Aaron brought the word of God to Pharaoh there in verse 1. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. And Pharaoh just made light of it. He said, don't let them observe vain words. Verse 10, and the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake unto the people Thus saith Pharaoh. Now it ain't thus saith the Lord. We got Pharaoh now. Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye get you straw where you can find it. It not aught of your work shall be diminished. Now they're putting this in the category of impossible. Verse 12, so the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. They're out there, they're desperately trying to find something to make these bricks so they won't be beaten with the whips of the taskmasters. And the taskmasters hastened them, verse 13, saying, fulfill your works, your daily task as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, they said, enough, we're going to have a meeting. We're going to go have a meeting with Pharaoh. You know, if that works sometimes, we'd have a meeting with the boss and tell them, you know, stuff they didn't want to hear. Tell them how it really was and why it's so hard and everything. Well, the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? They're going in there thinking Pharaoh's going to give them some help. That he's going to say, hey, get these boys some straw so they can make my bricks. Verse 16, they said, there's no straw given unto thy servants. And they say unto us, make brick. And behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. Now, they're telling it like it is, but what they don't know is Pharaoh's the one that ordered this. Verse 17, Pharaoh, but he said, you're idle. You're idle. Yeah. Therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. He's putting the Lord here in a bad light. He's saying, you're wasting your time. Pharaoh's saying, you're wasting your time wanting to go do sacrifice to the Lord. You got a job to do. I want you to do your job. Verse 18, he says, go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall you deliver the tale of bricks. I mean, it's nearly impossible. I mean, here Israel is, and I mean, buddy, they're working like sled dogs, trying to make the same amount of bricks, trying to get their own straw, and the same is true today. Today, it's more for less.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They say there's no inflation, and I say otherwise. I bought a dozen eggs the other day. I'll tell you right now, I looked at the price. What used to be a dollar something, $1.99, was $3 and something, had a limit of three. Yeah. And gasoline, even though it's going down a little bit, used to be 25 cents a gallon. Nothing's changed with gasoline. The only thing that's changed is the one that's charging.
Yeah.
And, he said, they were, verse 19, and the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in an evil case. After it was said, ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron. I can just see Moses and Aaron here, you know, and they're thinking, you know, we're the hero, we've arrived, we're going to get you out of here, we're going to help you. And boy, they don't know the hornet's nest, they're getting ready to meet here. They met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh, and they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our Savior. And now I want you to notice this is important. If you'll notice, Savior there is spelt with six letters instead of seven.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're really mad. You've made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh. Savior with seven letters means redeemed.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not redeemed, and they're not right, and they're mad, and they put this really in a bad case, but the meaning we understand they're talking about the Lord. And they said, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you've made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. They said, "You're everything but a friend to us, Moses and Aaron."
Yeah.
Verse 22, "And Moses returned unto the Lord." Boy, I'll tell you, when things ain't going right, and it happens a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
There's one option. Go to God.
That's right.
And say, "Can we talk?"
Yeah, that's it.
"Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me?" In other words, Moses said, "Am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? What's wrong here?" In verse 23, "For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." I don't know if you've noticed or not, but Moses is getting a little bit of backbone. Even though he's confused right here, he don't really understand the plan of God. I'm tickled to death that he's speaking like the Lord wanted him to. He's speaking to Pharaoh. He's speaking to the people. He's speaking to the Lord here. Chapter 6, verse 1. "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh."
Mm.
Now he's encouraging Moses in this statement.
Right.
"For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land." Now, we want everything now.
Yeah, that's right.
And Moses wants this now. The people of Israel wants this now, but God has a different plan.
You're feeling better,
right? And in his plan, he wants Pharaoh to understand who's God.
Yeah.
Pharaoh thinks he's a god. He thinks he's a king. And God's going to show him otherwise. Matter of fact, the book of Romans mentions about Pharaoh.
Yes.
God said that he'd raise Pharaoh up,
yeah,
just to make a name for himself. And Pharaoh don't know it, and he don't understand it, but God does.
Yeah.
And God here, he says, "Now shall thou see what I will do to Pharaoh." God's going to dethrone Pharaoh.
Right.
Now, we got a lot of Pharaohs down here right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
God's
going to, I think we got more Pharaohs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we got more Pharaohs than we got anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they, just like this Pharaoh, are going to get the same understanding, mm-hmm, that the Most High rules in the affairs of men. Nebuchadnezzar was probably the greatest king,
yeah,
that ever ruled on this earth. And God had him down eating grass,
yeah,
until he come to himself. And when he come to himself, it didn't take him long at all. He started praising God.
That's right.
He said, "Those that walk in pride, he's able to obey," sir, Daniel chapter 4. And I want you to know, he got on board real quick. God dethroned Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
And he won't have no problem with this Pharaoh here, but Pharaoh here, he ain't got there yet. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, "I am the Lord." That'll be good enough for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
When God tells you something, take that something and hold it.
Right.
Bonnie told me the other day, God told him to read a certain part in his Bible. I said, "You need to do that. God told you to do that. There's a reason."
Yeah.
Whatever the Lord tells you to do, do it. I just had a man not too long ago crying, telling me that the Lord had told him to make a staff out of cedar wood.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Have you done it yet?" He broke down, went to crying. And he said, "No." He said, I don't even know why the Lord wants me to do it." I said, "You might know after you do it.
Right.
Won't you do it?
Right.
Then you might find out." But I said, "Do you do it? You'll probably never know." But this was a pretty stubborn. This guy used to work in the CIA. Very learned man, very powerful man. Claimed to know the Lord, but when I told him, I said, "Have you done it yet?" "No." I said, "Well, maybe you need to do it. The Lord let you know why he told you that." I didn't have no dog in that. I just handled it best I could. But a lot of people just like him may not understand why God tells us things until we do them. The Lord told Moses, "I am the Lord." That's what Moses needs to remember. Now Moses is an ambassador.
I can't.
But God is the Lord. What you got, Brother Ed?
Well, No, I was talking to Brenda.
Oh. In verse 3, the Lord says, "And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them." Now, sometimes a name can be a stumbling block.
Yeah.
We got people down here claim to be Jehovah Witnesses. I'm a Jehovah Witness, saved one.
That's right.
Born again, Jehovah Witness.
That's right.
But they're not born again, saved. And they put so much emphasis on this name Jehovah that they miss coming to know this one called Jehovah. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, "The foundation of God standeth sure, the Lord knoweth them that are His."
Yeah.
They claim to know God. God said He don't know them.
Yeah.
And you can see that very plainly in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, when the Lord said, "Depart from me, I know you not, you worker of iniquity."
Yeah.
But they put a lot of emphasis here. And the Lord put emphasis on it right here. He said, "But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them." Talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. "To give them the land of Canaan." And He did. He gave them the land of Canaan. "The land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel." The Bible says that the Lord's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. You know, I'm glad my God's not made out of stone or wood. I'm glad that my God's a living God.
Yes.
And I'm glad He knows what I need. Sometimes I think I know what I need. And there's been so many times that God has done something differently than I thought that He would do it. But He's still done what I asked Him to do. And when He did, I'm glad He did it His way, not my way. But He said, "I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant." They're not without help. And they're not without hope. Verse 6, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you." Then they can spell it with seven letters.
Yeah.
"With a stretched out arm and with great judgments." Now, as wonderful as it sounds, it took a little while.
Yeah.
And one of Donnie's favorite verses in the Bible is, "Wait on the Lord."
Yeah.
"Be of good courage, wait, I say, on the Lord." And you know, I talk a lot about patience. And there's only one way to get patience, and that's wait on it. And I don't have much patience. And probably most of you don't either. But here, they had to wait on the Lord to get them out of this bondage. They had to wait on Him to do the work that had to be done so that Pharaoh would say, "Y'all get out of here and go serve your God wherever, however, just get out of my sight." And they had to wait on that.
Yeah.
Verse 7, God said, "And I will take you to me for people." Boy, I'm glad He took me.
Amen.
Whew. I was a stranger.
Yeah.
Alien.
Yeah.
To the commonwealth.
Mm-hmm.
But He took me to be His.
Right.
Paid the price for my sin. Set me free.
Mm-hmm.
Now I claim none other but Him. He said, "I will take you to me for people, and I will be to you a God.
Right.
And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." You know, I remember when God brought me out from under the burden. of sin.
Yeah.
I still remember it, but I mean, I drug this thing as far as I could drag it. I mean, if God hadn't saved me April 27, 1988, I believe I'd have died. I was at the point where something had to give, amen?
Right.
But here, God said, I'll bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you in unto the land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for a heritage. I am the Lord. You know, God made a promise to me.
Yeah.
Gonna give me a place called heaven.
Amen.
Yeah. And he said, I'll bring you there.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
And he said, I swear to give it to you. You know, Abraham saw the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. And he didn't find that city till he graduated down here. Found one had 12 foundations. And you know, I'm glad God made a city in heaven. And Jesus told us in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know what? I'm a citizen of that country. My citizenship is heaven now, according to Ephesians there. But God said, I'll bring you in unto the land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I will give it you for a heritage. I am the Lord. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. You know what? Morning. It was Micah. What happened?
Huh?
What happened?
You haven't noticed?
No, I just now seen it. You had a hood on last time.
I've had it for like a month and a half.
Well, you got the hood off. Hey, I like it. I want to tell you that. Can you transplant some of that on this old bald head of mine?
Amen.
Hey, I like it. I'll tell you right now. I didn't see it last time he had a hood on, but he got one of them good haircuts.
Yeah.
Donnie went and got him a haircut the other day. He wasted his money. I can't tell the difference in it. That's what a haircut looks like. Come out here again, Micah. Show Donnie what a haircut looks like.
Oh, my brother.
He's eating cake.
My hair is back home.
But they couldn't hearken to Moses because of the cruel bondage and because of the anguish of spirit. They were in hard bondage. They wanted what Moses said, but it was far off. And let me just put it like this. If they could have got it right there, right then, they'd have said, "Give it, about that woman, give me this water," in John chapter 4, that I thirst not. I'm just telling you, it was far off. They was going to get it, but they was going to have to stay in bondage till they got it. And they were in anguish of spirit. They wanted it now. You know, I'd like to be in heaven right now. I've heard about several preachers that died in the pulpit. What a way to go.
Yeah.
I've heard them die in their sleep. What a way to go.
Yeah.
I've heard them having a heart attack falling. What a way to go. I'll take anyway. I'm telling you, depart and be with Christ is far better than the bondage down here. I don't care what you got. It's better up there. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. God made a place called heaven and said we could go there.
Yeah.
They hearkened not unto Moses. And the reason they didn't hearken, they were just in cruel bondage. Verse 10, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go ye speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. Now I want you to know Moses is getting a little bit more bold. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. Moses is getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. I want you to know the Lord didn't leave it up for discussion. He gave a charge to them. And he said, you go speak to Pharaoh on behalf of the children of Israel to get them out of the land of Egypt. Verse 14. I don't think we can finish this chapter, and I'll go here. These be the heads of their fathers' houses, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, Hanok, and Pelu, Hezron, and Carmi. These be the families of Reuben, the sons of Simeon, Jemu, Jamin, and Ohad, and Jachin.
Good morning, Donna.
And Zoar, and Shaul, the sons of a Canaanite woman. These are the families of Simeon. These are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations. Gershon, Kohath, Merari, and the years of the life of Levi were 137 years. The sons of Gershon, Libni, and Shimei according to their families. Sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, and Hebron, and Uzziel, the years of the life of Kohath were 133 years. The sons of Merari, Heli, and Mushi, these are the families of Levi, according to their generations. Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife. Now that's Moses' father-in-law, Jochebed. No, wait a minute. Jethro's Moses' father-in-law. That's Moses' wife's sister. Took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife. And she bare him Amram and Moses. God, I'm really confused here. And the years of life of Aram were 137 years. And the sons of Issachar, Kohath, Nepheth, and Zechariah. God, these names over my head. And the sons of Uzziel, Mizel, and Elizaban, Zithriah. And Aaron took him Elizabeth, daughter of Amadad, the sister of Nasan, to wife. And she bare him Nadab, and Abihu, and Eleazar, and Ithar. God, these names. And the sons of Korah, Ashar, and Elikan, and, my God, Abitheth. These are the families of the Korahites. And Eleazar, Aaron's son, took him one of the daughters of Putiel, the wife. She bare him Phinehas. These are the heads of the father of the Levites according to their families. These are that Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. These are they which spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, I am the Lord, speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? Amen. I'll stop right there. Those names are over this preacher's capability. Amen. I don't like it when they go through naming a bunch of names and they don't make no sense. I like Tom, Steve, Rick, Ed, Patrick, Jerry. I like normal names. Amen. Yeah. Some of them names over my head. All right, we'll stop right there.